Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
This is how we do it.
You wanted to never rush your money.
In the name of the hops, the barley, and the music that unites us, welcome back to Hops and Notes.
This man held up a cup and said that.
Are we in church?
We're about to be taken.
I don't want to be there.
We're about to be taken to church. Welcome back to Hops and Notes for episode 7. Joining me on this episode again. I don't know how many other agains I can throw in. We got Alex from Horrible Peoples and Turning Tables and Ruben from Turning Tables. Say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back.
We're back and better than ever.
Something like that.
Technically, I haven't left for a while. Huh? I haven't left for a while. I've been here for a little bit.
Before we get to this music, let me take some cups, pour the drink, and say, take this, you two, and drink it. This is a blessing from the beer gods as a sign of their new covenant. No longer will you be crushed with flavorless beer. Please hold while I pour this out. Everybody close your eyes. This is a surprise beer and Alex isn't allowed to see it.
Okay.
It's an IPA. It's a goddamn IPA.
It might be.
Our eyes are currently covered.
I'm also using a DM screen because...
He doesn't trust us.
Yes.
His script also just says surprise beer.
Yeah, I have not put any information about what this is onto the script, because shenanigans and tomfoolery are afoot, y'all. Okay.
You know what people with anxiety love?
All right, you guys ready? Here we go.
Not seeing things?
Yeah.
Here you guys go.
Can I open my eyes, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here are your glasses.
Okay.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm going to sniff this real quick.
Smells like an IPA.
It doesn't smell incredibly hoppy.
What does it taste like, Alex?
Does it taste bad?
What does it taste like, Alex?
What's it supposed to taste like?
No, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to know to guess what it is.
I can't place it. It's definitely IPA, but it's cut. The flavor, the hoppiness is definitely cut with something. I can't place it, though.
It's something fruity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've narrowed it down to a fruit. Is it mango?
No, I can't give you that.
That's why.
I'm not trying to kill you on episode 7.
Human sacrifice.
Human sacrifices. No. It is not mango.
Passion fruit?
No.
Am I getting warmer?
Nah, that was colder.
I'm really bad at identifying
peach?
Things.
No.
Damn.
Fuck, peach would be really good with this, though.
Yeah. I give up.
Before I show Alex, I need to get your actual reaction to this. What are your thoughts and feels?
I mean, it is not bad.
Yes! I'm going to take it as a victory. This is Fall of Troy from Belching Beaver. Oh. It's an orange vanilla Imperial IPA. Take a look at this can.
Yellow that beaver looks ready to go.
So that's the new can. When it first came out, it looked like this.
That also looks
so I kind of do. This is a little more like a t-shirt, I think. But that can, that's some can art.
Yeah.
So, Alex, would you like to read the can for us? I think there's something on the can. If there isn't,
is that? Yes.
Go ahead, read that for me, please.
Fall of Troy, Orange Vanilla Imperial IPA. We're bringing back a fan favorite with dubious beginnings. Let's just say it was a mistake. Troy's mistake. Which proved to be a happy accident. This mosaic hop-laden Imperial IPA is smooth and juicy with notes of orange and vanilla. Troy is hereby inducted into our Brewer's Hall of Shame alongside other legendary brews like Ivan the Terrible and Josh Dammit.
just so you guys know, this beer was a mistake. It was not supposed to happen. I think the story is the dude like dumped the orange vanilla into the wrong tank.
Oh.
And they were like, fuck. Instead of scrapping the whole thing, they just kept it and sold it as a limited thing. And they're like, fuck it, if it sells well, we'll bring it back. If not, at least we made money off of it. And people fucking loved it. And so now I think it's seasonal. Mm. But it's a permanent thing.
I don't hate it.
Yes.
It definitely
I'm taking it as a win.
Okay.
I'm already falling into the Imperial IPA area. Thanks to this guy, so like this is a good drink for me.
Hell yeah!
Just the hazy Elysium I've been drinking.
Also, Belching Beaver is from San Diego, California.
Yeah, I used to go there and drink back in the day. Yep,
they make great beer. This is just one of their like weirder beers. But let's get this rating out of 5 bottle caps. Ma'am?
I'm going to give it a solid 2.5. I don't hate it. I don't love it.
Yes! I'll take it as a win.
It's drinkable, I would say.
Yes.
Ruben?
I'll give it 3.5. Like, it again, I'm getting used to the Imperial IPAs, so like that's been palatable to me. The nice orange vanilla does cut it a little bit more, so it makes it that much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm going to also sit at 3.5. It's very easy to drink. It does not taste like the 8.5% that it says it is.
Oh, I probably shouldn't drink that so fast.
Bye.
Hold on, Ruben. I got another can for you. We just split one.
We'll split.
Oh, also, they're tall cans. Yeah. They're 19 ounces.
Real quick for the people.
Yeah.
Frothy.
But yeah, 3.5, very easy to drink. I don't think I can drink this all day because I will get very drunk and or very sick.
Although you could. It's a nice summer beer.
Honestly, I would drink this poolside. Like I could be lounging in a pool.
In a floaty.
Absolutely. Put me in a fucking floating net in this beer and like my big floppy sun hat. Absolutely.
Yo, low-key, this with like a hamburger would be like pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good poolside barbecue beer. But now that we're drinking this... Surprise! I'm just kidding.
Summer's here, we can do it.
Yeah, now that we're drinking Fall of Troy, let's get to this album.
My pool is broken.
Oh my god. The pool is so sad. I just need them to fix it for you. We're going to get into this album. We're going to be discussing Ghost's first album, Opus Eponymous.
Yes! I'm so hyped for this. We're finally going Ghost.
Yeah, we're going Ghost!
Yes! I am so excited for this.
Okay, really quick. The title is Latin for self-titled work. Ha. It's literally called Ghost.
Yeah.
Without writing Ghost on it again.
Excellent. That's fucking cool.
Ruben, go ahead. Let's get some information about our spooky boys.
But of course, Ghost is a Swedish band from, I'm going to mess this up, Lycoping?
Linkoping. I don't know. Yeah,
there's a double dot on the O. Sweden. It's
we're very sorry to our Swedish fans.
Yeah, we're sorry. At us to pronunciate it correctly. Lycoping, Sweden in 2006. The band came about when Tobias Forge, which his name, it's just his regular name, is pretty dope. Right. Tobias Forge, wrote the song Stand By Him. He said, I said that this was probably the most heavy metal riff that had ever existed. When the chorus came to me, it haunted my dreams. Every time I picked up the guitar, I ended up playing that progression. Then I fit in the words, it seemed to cry out for a satanically oriented lyric.
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan! He then contacted his former bandmate from Repugnant, a Swedish death metal band, Gustav Lindstrom, to record a demo of the song.
Why is his name just as badass?
Yeah, Lindstrom. Gustav Lindstrom.
Lindstrom. It's your family.
Du hast. In 2008.
Different country.
I know. It's straight
up. It's European.
It's over there. I don't know what it is, bro. I deployed in the Pacific. I don't know what European countries are. In 2008, the two entered the studio to record 3 songs. Stand By Him, Prime Mover, and I can speak words. Death Kneel. Afterward, Forge remarked to Lindstrom, this definitely does not sound like two dudes that you like that look like you and I. Thus, Forge decided that they should be an anonymous theater band and use their love of horror films and the traditions of Scandinavian metal in the band's imagery.
Okay, so if anybody's seen what Tobias Forge looks like, throwback to the Prince episode, he is a tiny skinny man.
He's a tiny little dude.
He's so small. And if you see him, you know, without the full, like, regalia for Ghost, he looks like the most unthreatening man. So I agree with him 1,000%. It does not look like he plays this music.
So, while other members of the band would wear black hooded robes and be called nameless ghouls, Forge would go by, I'm going to butcher this because I don't say it out loud, Papa Emeritus?
Emeritus, emeritus. I've heard it a lot of different ways, just from people in different countries.
I don't speak Latin.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I think it's Italian, maybe.
It sounds, I mean.
It's close.
He eats Latin, that. Italian. He eats that spaghetti.
Emeritus. Dressed in papal regalia and his face painted to resemble a skull, Forge then chose the name Ghost for the group.
Yay!
Initially, Forge had no aspirations on becoming the band's vocalist, however, instead wanting to play guitar. He offered the position of lead vocalist to Messiah Marklin, Mats Levin, Christer Gorgolathen.
We're so sorry to all these people.
Christer Goransson, and J.B. Christofferson, all of whom passed. As a result, Forge became the band's lead singer by default.
Could you imagine if it wasn't him?
No.
I can't. I don't understand. I don't know who any of those people are.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to imagine that they would have been better...
Without him?
Yeah, as or singer? better singers than him. Well, like you said, we don't know these people, but, like, now it's just... Tobias is synonymous as the singer, so...
Tobias is Papa.
Papa.
Yeah.
Not that kind of Papa.
Papa was a rolling stone. Go ahead, sorry.
It's okay. It's your podcast. I'm just guessing. You can do whatever you want.
Yeet! No, just put your shirt back on.
Take the jacket off.
This is sad.
Alright, we're done. Go ahead.
On March 12, 2010, Forge posted the first three Ghost songs on MySpace.
Yay!
And within 2 days was contacted by record labels and managers wanting to work with the group. Ah, oh, MySpace.
Did you guys have MySpace this late?
In 2010?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
You did? So I did too. That was when MySpace became that like music platform that, I don't know if it still is, I haven't looked, but 2010 is when I deleted mine. Around that time anyway, and mine was an artist page. Like, I had my own music on there and shit like that.
That's dope.
And it was like, I mean, of course, I didn't log into it for like eight years. So the thing was like, hello, would you like to pay for promotion for your music? And I was like, I mean, maybe when I was doing that back in the day, but now, no, not really. Looking back, those songs are cringe.
Aww.
It wasn't good.
It's okay. I got some songs on SoundCloud out there also. I'm not going to tell you what they're called.
We'll put them on here as a bonus episode.
No. You can find them.
Ghost spent a few weeks in a basement studio in the band's hometown of Linköping recording their debut album. In June of 2010, the band released their first single, Elizabeth, and Ghost released their first studio album, Opus Eponymous, on October 18th, 2010, on the independent record label Rise Above Records. I find it interesting that Elizabeth was the single.
Right?
It is interesting that they picked that one.
Out of all the songs.
Is she from
Elizabeth Bathory?
Yeah.
She's Hungarian.
Yeah. I mean, I can see Elizabeth Bathory being more of like a Eastern European like
folklore
than here, because like I only know because I'm a goth weirdo.
Yeah, so like, we only know the story because it was like, what did she do?
Bathed in the blood,
bathed in the blood of virgins. Like,
yeah, lots of them.
Lots of them.
Living the dream.
What? Nightmares and dreams too.
What? Wait, what?
Anyway.
Yeah. The album was well received by critics, being nominated for the 2011 Grammys.
Oh, sorry.
Is that a Grammy?
Grammy.
What's a Grammys?
That was also copy and pasted from Wikipedia.
Good lord.
You guys are welcome.
Let me do that again. The album was well received by critics, being nominated for a 2011 Grammy Award for Best Hard Rock Album.
Hell yeah.
Ooh. Ghost then played their very first concert on October 23rd, 2010 at the Hammer of Doom Festival in Würzburg, Germany.
Yo, first of all, Hammer of Doom Festival?
I'd love to go to that festival.
Yeah. And then Würzburg, Germany? Holy cow.
So let's get James to go to this festival.
Right?
This a whole podcast trip to Hammer of Doom Festival in Germany.
I'm there.
Hammer of Doom. It's still a festival.
Hell yeah. Who plays it?
Well, let's see, 2010. I'm gonna see.
Black metal.
Yeah, who's in the lineup?
Ghost is probably like way at the bottom.
Yeah, they're brand new.
If they're even listed.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's the same one.
I have no idea. Oh, this is 2011. Sorry.
Oof.
My mistake.
Jamie.
I googled Hammer of Doom 2010, and the first thing that popped up was Ghost.
Oh, all right. There's probably like some fan shot video of it that it sounds like ass, but it's really cool to watch.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a video of Ritual of exactly what you just described.
Hey, that's dope.
Yeah, Ghost Ritual live 2010 at Hammer of Doom 4.
That's probably the first time it was ever performed.
Yeah,
I'll have to watch that later.
Really quick, Ruben, before you get into this, let me get into Papa One.
Yeah, explain the lore, please.
Explain the lore.
I'm gonna have to explain this lore without spoiling albums. So, when he took on the Papa Emeritus persona, a lot of this is improv. Like, the band became big, and he was like, holy shit, I can make this a story, because it's all a parody of the Catholic Church. Like, the whole getup and everything, like they said, the papal chasuble, he's dressed like a pope. And so Papa One, he's the only Papa, excuse me here, he's the only one whose mask isn't custom made. It was a pre-made mask called Walter Gray number 103. And they just painted that, like, that mask. So every other mask after Papa One has been fit to his face to make it look better. And I think you can tell, like,
yeah,
Papa One is the oldest one, aside from when we meet Papa Zero.
Yeah.
But, like, when you see Papa One, he looks very old. He looks, like, decrepit almost. And around this time, he wore two costumes. The first one is the one that a lot of people see. It's the red and black chasuble with the upside-down crosses down the middle. And the second one, towards the end of his era, it was black and white with gold crucifixes down the middle.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with that one.
Yeah, and then I've seen the black one a lot. The black one is the one I think they did all their press releases in.
Yeah.
But the white and black is the one you see on live videos mostly. But on December 15th, 2012, during a special live show at their hometown, Papa One retired and was replaced by Papa Two. And so it's been moving through, like, every album they get a new quote-unquote singer. And at this time, nobody knew who the singer was.
Mm-hmm.
So people actually believed that the singer was being replaced. Nobody knew who was in the band.
They're all just nameless ghouls.
Yeah, and, like, they stayed nameless until shit happens later. And we'll talk about it when we get to that album. But they were all nameless ghouls. And as the singers were changing out, they took on different personas. And this is an X factor for this band, the dedication to the bit. Because Tobias plays Papa One, as I said, a very, you know, old man. He's almost like a harbinger of death. Like, he's very creepy. He moves weird. And then Papa Two was like, still an old guy, but not like an old pope. But he moved, like, sexually. Like, he was very, like, sexually driven. There's a video. I wish I can remember what video it was. It takes place in Vegas, and it's just him partying with all these women and shit. And, like, I think it's the first time you see him without the makeup.
Right.
And he still has the mask on. He's bald and everything. And then Papa 3 was, like, a younger Papa.
Papa 3,
like,
was classy.
Yeah, and Papa 3 had that, you know, he dressed in suits all the time if he wasn't in the full, like, robe. He had a little, like, he was a little more lively, but he wasn't immature. Like, he said, very classy.
He was,
like,
suave.
Yeah. And
Papa
then
he was very suave.
And then after Papa 3, we got the Cardinal Copia. And Cardinal Copia was a kid. Like, they played him as a kid. And he still has that attitude, even live at the shows. Like, he's matured now, but, like, when he first came out, like, he was very, like, foolish. He runs around. And you can watch all this lore in the YouTube videos, too. Go to YouTube. Go to Ghost. Watch all their videos. They're really fun. They're entertaining. And they kind of leave you hanging because something extra is going to happen. But when Papa 4 was introduced, that's when Rats had come out as the single.
Oh, Rats.
And they did a special show at the
Palladium?
No, at the Whiskey. At the Whiskey A Go-Go. And in L.A., for those who don't know. And right before the show happened, they released a YouTube video, and it shows all the Papas sitting at this table playing, like poker or something. Like they're playing cards and arguing, and you see the nameless ghouls sneaking around. They sneak up on all three of them, inject them, and kill them. So now all the old papas are dead, and they put them in these like clear coffins. And at the show, they had the bodies on display. So if you went to the show, you got to like, it was almost a ghost museum where they had all the old costumes, the old bodies and everything. It was like, and it was the introduction. That was the first time Cardinal Copia sang for the band. And then now, technically, he's been promoted to Papa 4. So we're at Papa 4. New album's coming out soon. The cover album is coming out this Friday. By this time, the time this comes out, it'll be out already. But they've been hinting at Papa 4 getting killed. And the whole point is, there's nobody left in this quote-unquote bloodline to take over. So the fans who know the lore are very curious to see what happens. I'm fucking hyped.
We did see possible, because even the Nameless Ghouls, their facade changes with each Papa. We saw maybe the new mask earlier
today. Oh, yeah, on Instagram. That look, it looks almost gargoyle-ish.
Yeah, I do like that it's kind of a step back towards Papa 3's ghouls. Because, in my opinion, Papa 3's ghouls were, like, the best-looking ones. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google these
things. Yeah, please Google them. They look incredible. Like, Papa 3's ghouls look like statues with devil horns and a nice, like, slick back. Like, my hair is, like, slick back.
But everything below the nose is just straight flat.
Yeah.
So, like, they also have this weird faceless facade still. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Fun fact.
We're nerding out here. Yeah.
Fun fact, Dave Grohl actually, he was a Nameless Ghoul on a tour for them once. Like, he drummed for them for a whole tour and then took off.
I did know that.
Yeah, that's really cool. When I found that out, I was like, fuck yeah, Dave Grohl. Let's get it. Anyway, so that's a little hint at the lore. If you want to know more, please go watch the YouTube videos. I don't want to give away too much, though, because we'll cover it as we get to other albums.
I was going
to
say, did none of that spoil anything about the
album? No.
Because all it does explain is that each album has a different type of a feel when you get to them, and you see it progress. But, like, besides, that's just lore. That has nothing to do with the music itself.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and when you see them live, like, obviously you're going to have to go back and watch the videos, but, like, look at all the videos. His body language changes. His voice is slightly different when he speaks, too. Mm-hmm. It's so good. This man is playing D&D on stage. Himself,
yeah,
it's incredible.
He's 1,000% LARPing. His mannerisms and his voice, everything's different with each Papa's performance.
Very fun. This is one of the many things I love about this band. Anyway, Ruben, you got a little more for us.
Yeah, let me finish this up for you guys. The band has changed members since then, but the lineup for this album is Tobias Forge on vocals, guitar, and keyboard, Gustav Lindstrom on bass, Ludwig Kenberg on drums.
So, in the booklet, sorry, I should have wrote this down. In the book, like if you bought the CD, it's only credited as Ghost.
Yeah.
So this came out after the whole shit came down with like when we all found out who the band members were. But that's two albums away.
Yeah. The fact they were able to keep it up for two albums.
It's a long time. Yeah. It happened recently. It wasn't really that long ago.
Yeah. The track listing for the albums is as follows. Deus Culpa, Con Cavi Con Dio, Ritual, Elizabeth, Stand By Him, Satan Prayer, Death Kneel, Prime Mover, and Genesis.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Very short album, y'all. Give me just a second. I can pull up how long this album is. This album is 34 minutes and 41 seconds.
It's a short album.
If you live in Japan, you got a 10th album that's a Beatles cover. That makes it to 38.05. And I don't give two shits about that thing because it's not on Spotify.
Yeah.
If you want to hear it, go listen to it. We're not going to talk about it. But on to track one, Deus Culpa. Who wants it? Alex, go ahead, start.
I love organ music.
Hot pipes.
Nice podcast about organs.
Organ music. Plugging hot pipes.
Definitely welcome to church, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And we'll see the organs. This is like a good setting for this album. You'll see that organs are very prevalent in Ghost's music. And this is just kind of like the taster of like, this is what to expect as far as background. You're going to hear organs through their whole career.
I thought you were like taking a bit to say something. Yeah. So the title translates to God's fault. And removing my current knowledge of this band and what they do with organ sounds now, this sounds like organs that would play before Mass started.
Yeah, like
it's, and it's it's a little underwhelming, I think. I think it sounds too chill for me, you know? Because we've heard what they've done with, so now put my hat back on with my knowledge. What I've heard them do with organ intros before,
yeah.
I think they could have given this a little more. If it's going to be like that, I feel like they should have just shortened it and made it an intro into Conclave. Because it's kind of long.
Yeah, it is kind of long. I think, but again, this is Baby Ghost. Yeah. I think this was meant, like, maybe this is like what the first thing they played at their show.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, they're opening the show with this, and like, this is, you know, you hear the noise, and we've seen it.
Yeah.
You always hear the intro music, and each band member comes out by themselves. And last, of course, is Papa, and he he presents himself in whatever character he's in. So live, great. I see it. Listening at home, I don't know, it's kind of boring. But still, it's dope to get the vibe, because it does give you the vibe that the album's about to put you into.
It tries to set the tone, but I agree. I think that there's other, like, I've heard better instrumental openings.
Uh-huh. It's too church for us, or too adverse to church that we didn't like
no,
it.
No,
okay. It's funny that you bring that up, because later there's a point where I'm just like, I feel like I'm in reverse church right now.
Oh, that's yeah.
That's the point. Like, they're this band is intentionally making fun of the Catholic Church. And we're going to get to it in later songs.
Reverse church.
But yeah, like...
But like, I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah. Well, and then we've talked about Midnight Mass before, but in Midnight Mass is a great album, or a great... They do have a pretty good album.
The soundtrack is creepy. Pretty, yeah.
But there's a part, there's many parts where like the town's filling into the church and the dude's just playing keys, mm-hmm. and it's subtle in the background. And that's what this gave me, that vibe. It brought me back to my youth. Mm-hmm. And so... I do appreciate it, but again, maybe a little too long. Maybe, I don't know, make it a little creepy, but again, Baby Ghost. They're just testing the waters.
And that was my whole thing listening to this album, and we'll get into it like just for like general vibes. But I had to keep reminding myself, like, I was like, this isn't the Ghost you know right now.
Yeah.
Like, these are they're just starting.
But yeah, it's an instrumental. Yeah, take it or leave it. I recommend at least listening to it once, because why not? Listen to the whole album. On to track two, Ruben, let me get it.
Con clavi, con Dio.
What do you got?
Lucifer! We are here. First of all, bass line. It's very foreboding in the beginning. Yes. Once that comes in, the guitar starts kicking, and the drum starts kicking, and the bass still carries on, and it almost feels like a march during the whole song, besides like the chorus.
Well, you get the jump.
Yeah.
But when the keys hit, that's a horror movie sound.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
And then obviously, we're going to address it. There's a lot of satanic wording in these songs, mm-hmm. and it's on purpose. Like, it's over the top. Or even not even over the top. It's what, like, Satanists think Satanism is. Or not. Well,
it's what Christians think Satanism
is. Exactly. That's what I meant to say. To anyone who's not knowledgeable to the sense will be like, oh, this is legit devil music.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not devil's music. It's just themed that way. Yeah. I don't think these people go out on weekends and kill, human sacrifices. Yeah.
We're like talking about like overall themes of the album right now, which I'm just like, I was saving this for later.
No, go ahead. What do you got on this?
So I agree. I think this is exactly what like hardcore Christians think Satanists think like, but also this is what I think like very silly, very hardcore Satanists think that they sound like.
Yeah.
It's not that dude, the dude in the all black, wears the red tie, like he's got the hat, kind of like a bigger guy, but he's like, we're gonna sacrifice something to Baphomet. Like, he does a lot of like weird interviews. You guys haven't seen that?
No.
Oh man, it was when the Satanic Temple built the Baphomet statue, yeah. and he comes out like on a news broadcast, and they interview him because he's there, and he's like a college humor guy or something. He's doing a bit, And it fucking went viral because people thought it was real. And like, no, he's a clown. Like, he's just fucking around. Sorry, go ahead.
No. That kind of is what stood out to me in, actually, Stand By Him is where I was just like, I get it. I get the point you're trying to make. Can we get some good music, please?
So my notes, literally in quotes, Lucifer.
My notes for this was I love bass.
Oh yeah, bass. 1000%. And like, so literally the intro bass line is hypnotizing. Like Ruben said earlier, like you hear it and you're just like, oh, what the hell's coming? Then the drums and the guitar, and like I said, the keys give it the big like Oppo Church vibes. They're just like, you're here with the devil now. Like, and
welcome to church.
So the title translates to With Nails With God.
Okay.
And the hook is all in Latin. It's let us be with the nails. Let us be with God. Let us be with our dark God.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And again, like, man, when they play it live, like the lights are all red and like, it's just overproduction, but that's the point. It's supposed to be extra. Oh, man, I love this song. It's so good.
I used to have a cat with my ex named Lucifer, and whenever the song came on, we'd pick him up like Simba and be like, Lucifer, just hold him up to the sky.
My dog is named Ghost after this band. Sorry, Mom, I know you listen to this. Now you know. But every time it comes on, I'll pick him up. Little dog!
We are here!
It's poor animals. Anyway, track...
You know, every time David Bowie comes on, I don't just pick up Bowie.
You
and
should.
I should.
You just scoop her up and
this
be like...
This is little cat to ground.
Let's dance. Let's
put on your little kitty shoes and dance the blues.
We can be kitties.
Ground control the little cat.
Really, the jokes are endless.
We can be here all day.
Anyway, track 3, Ritual.
Yes, I love this song.
Alex, go ahead. You're ready.
This is my favorite song on the album.
This is honestly it's incredible. I love this song. This should have been the single.
I was going to say that earlier when we were talking about it. But I was like, I'm gonna hold it in. Yeah. I'm going to keep it till we get to the track walkthrough. But yeah, Ritual absolutely should have been the single from this album. It's fun. It's a little sexy. It's got it. I don't know. I fucking love this song. It also is the reason why it has so many listens on Spotify. I don't know if you noticed this. It has an absurdly high number of listens in comparison to the rest of the album.
Ooh.
This song is very popular on TikTok.
Is it?
Oh, I didn't know this one. So just for reference. Ghost has another song, Mary on a Cross, that ended up getting remixed and very popular on TikTok. And
also Year Zero.
Well, yeah, Year Zero got sampled for the pets. Mm-hmm. But like, I never saw Ritual. That's dope.
I've heard Ritual like on TikTok before. I've definitely heard the song before. Because I don't think I've actually heard this whole album before. But the one thing is like, if it wasn't going to be a single, it needed to be lower in the album because I was chasing the high of this song for the rest of the album.
You know what?
It didn't deliver.
I'm going to say front heavy. This album is front heavy. But I do like the whole album, but I think all the hits are in the front.
The very front.
Ritual, yeah. Elizabeth, fucking
Stand By Him.
Is kind of meh for me. Satan Prayer is really good, but then Death Knell, Prime Mover, and then Genesis.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll get into Genesis when we get there.
We'll get to Genesis when we get to it. But yeah, Ruben, what do you got for Ritual?
You see this? I'm opening up my bag because I got a plethora of notes here. Okay, first things first, let's talk about the intro. Obviously, the intro fucking goes hard. You have that light strumming, then it's that...
So the tones that they use for this album, it's not metal tones. No. It's not like heavy distortion, like all that shit. It's almost like a weird underground punk tone where it's crunchy and it has enough like distortion behind it to like it's not a clean tone.
Right.
But like, man, if they strum light enough, you get all the notes, and especially with that...
Yeah, the long notes that give it, like, almost light, hypnotic feel before you get kicked in the shins with, like, the bass.
And then, like, the chorus is where it gets, like, almost, like, a little groovy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets groovy as hell. Also, one, let's see, again, over-the-top satanic verses. Supposed to be there. Don't take them literally. It's just the theme of the music. To caveat that, Our Father prayer that's turned for the own holy church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's just the medics. No one really recites that. No one's underneath a bridge somewhere killing a goat singing this. If they are, they're doing it wrong. That's not how you do Satanism. Not that I would know. The bridge. The bridge here matches that hypnotic feel, but it still has that weight of, like, the chorus. It's like the beginning and the middle of the song kind of, it's meshed together. And also, harmonic guitars. I said it a bunch of time on Iron Maiden. I love me harmonic guitars.
Oh, yeah.
And last thing, Maisie outro solo. Very skilled, melodic, and it matches the vibe of the song without feeling, like, crazy out of place.
Yeah.
Because some metal bands will, like, at the end of the song, they'll kick into it, which I'm for. But sometimes it's like, you find yourself listening to a song waiting for the solo.
Yeah.
You don't wait for the solo on this because it's so embedded with the song. It just sounds, it flows well. Yeah, I'll shut up now.
So my first lyrics are, tonight we're summoned for a divine cause. Remember it's no before their future loss. Those are the first lyrics of the song.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, smells of dead human sacrifice.
Yes.
The first time I heard that lyric, I was like, excuse me while I restart this song because I wasn't ready. Holy shit. So cool.
Did anyone hear during the Unholy Bastard hear Pokemon Master the first time they heard it?
Pokemon Master!
Yeah, that's right. I was like, wait, there's no fucking way.
I agree that any part that and like people sing that live now, like they,
I know I did,
yeah,
at the show,
yeah, you got to
play this song.
And I think that's one of the things that, so Ghost and Tobias has been very vocal about it, especially in the last album made Ruben and I cry, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, a lot.
It's very sad, but there's an interview with him where they talk about, like, oh, hey, you know, like, what were your influences on this album, whatever. And he goes, Iron Maiden's always been a big influence on me. I love the way they work. And I think that's just a Euro thing. Like, the Europeans still do as much as they can with those harmonizing guitars. But then he talks about, like, but I was watching and listening to this opera and this live play. And I got real into, like, this random, like, he has pulling from so many different things. And I think that's why Ghost is the metal band for people who don't like metal.
Yeah, absolutely. He gets past the satanic wording. Even they have some songs that are easier on the psyche when it comes to that. If you get past all that, it's
good.
It's good.
Yeah, my friends called them Scooby-Doo metal.
Yeah.
That's kind of not.
And it's silly.
I was just like, I absolutely agree. I think not for Ritual and not for Elizabeth, but by when I started getting to, like, Stand By Him and Satan Prayer, I was like, oh, this is Scooby-Doo metal.
Yeah.
Like, you absolutely, like, some of, like, the, like, some of the sounds you get, I'm like, oh, this is absolutely something you would hear at a Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, like, and I think the best part of it is they don't take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
Like, they, and they're having a good time, it's fun for them, and, like, they don't care if, like, at this point, they don't care if the Christians got mad, but, like, they also don't care if the Satanists are mad. Like, everyone could suck it. We're just here to have a good time. And it almost feels like a side project that blew up to the point where they're like, oh, fuck, we can make money on this.
That's kind of what it was.
And so, again, Ghost is metal for the people who don't like metal. And it's pop for the metalheads who claim to hate pop.
Yeah, exactly. 1,000%. I saw somebody on Instagram references as, like, goth Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Dude, this is modern day.
What's crazy is he meant that as an insult.
But I think it's accurate.
Yeah, and people get mad and shit, but I was like, no, dude. I've seen the one, Black, the meme where from Family Guy, where it's God on the ark, and it's the, whatever the animals that made it.
It was
and it's Abba. He's like, ABBA and Black Sabbath, and Ghost is a little baby, and he's like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, it's Ghost, dude. And I was like, dude, I love ABBA and Black Sabbath. But like, yes. And like, I think that's one of the best things about this band, is it can be silly, you got the high vocals and everything, but it works. Really quick, Evil Our Father slaps.
Evil Our Father,
like that backwards amen. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you get the just to bring back that
together in my office, and I just stop and I looked like to a camera that wasn't there, and I was just like,
oh, the Nema?
I was just like, that's amen backwards. Very good.
Yeah, like, understood. He's having fun writing these things. Evil Our Father is incredible.
I remember looking it up like a long time ago when I first heard this song, and just getting acronyms for like National Electrical something. Like, what is
it's amen backwards.
Yes. I'm sorry I exist, Google.
Sorry for everything.
Also, Bon Jovi God being an insult, bruh. You can say whatever you want about Bon Jovi, but I bet you when Living on a Prayer comes on, you sing that
right?
Shit.
Like, everybody knows the fucking song.
So go fuck yourself. I don't care.
I saw that video. I know exactly what video you're talking about, and he meant it for sure as an insult. But
you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no, dude. It's just no insults. They don't take it. They don't care.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They got their money.
Right.
They're doing well.
Great. Fucking TikTok helped.
Yeah.
But on to the next song. Alex, what is it called?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Or Elizabeth, if you're fucking Tobias, which drove me fucking nuts.
What do you have on this song, man?
So my notes, I remember exactly verbatim what I said. I was just like, is this song about Elizabeth Bathory? And I was like, oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%.
Of old Hungarian skies.
Well, I was with it, and then it said something Bathory. And I was just like, Bathory. Yes, it is about Elizabeth Bathory. And then after that, my next note was... Tobias, why do you pronounce Elizabeth like that?
Because he's Swedish.
I know. But just like in hearing it in song, I was just like, it's Elizabeth.
Eliza. Yeah. Let's go over that one real quick.
Ruben, what do you got?
All right. I got three notes. One, the guitar during the bridge. Again, the bridges, I'm going to bring this up again later, but... the theme of this album as far as music, like the musical composition, intros, outros, bridges. That's where they're shining, those three parts. The guitar during the bridge almost sounds like it's far away. Like it's got an echo on it. And based on the imagery they build in the song, like they're talking about in her castle, she's living forever, her castle of death. I almost feel like this
guitar... You're still alive.
Yeah, I feel like this guitarist, like... on a fucking mountainside.
It's Tobias.
I feel like this man is like on a side of a mountain with this castle overlooking a village, like Strahd's castle overlooking a village. Yeah. And he's just on the edge of the hill playing a metal guitar, scaring.
Gothbard.
Yeah, he's definitely Gothbard. He's scaring all the people down in the valley with his guitar.
It's not even Strahd that's scary, it's the Gothbard.
It's the Gothbard. Yes. I think, at least to me, during the chorus, it almost sounds like a love song, kind of.
Yes, Ruben, I literally wrote, it almost sounds like a love song.
But yes.
Let's fucking get it. Sorry. There's a look of shame on Alex's face. I literally wrote, yay, Bathory! But I think this is another thing where Tobias shows his influences. To me, it gave me big Merciful Fate vibes.
Okay, yeah.
Specifically, Evil. If you guys don't know the song Evil by Merciful Fate...
go listen to it.
Please.
It'll change your life.
Go listen to that whole album, Melissa. We're going to cover it eventually. But it started... and also, if you don't know how King Diamond sings, he sings low and then hits a high note.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was born in the cemetery under the sign of the... like, he hits that, and, like, you get that.
Oh, yeah.
From underneath the moonlight, under Hungarian skies.
Yeah,
like, it's not as hard, and it's not aggressive, but that's a Merciful Fate vibe. And I was like, oh. Just to sprinkle on that little bit more of Evil into this song.
I love Evil. That song is so good.
Evil's so good. But no, it's literally sprinkling Evil into your song without... ripping them off completely.
Just a dash of evil into your song.
A dash of evil.
You're really into doing that voice lately.
It's been in my head. I also went the other day, and I was harassing the ghost, and I was like, hobbitses.
And he's, yeah, but he was just like, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, he's like, why? It's 11 o'clock. Go to sleep.
You need to go to bed, sir.
But yeah, I love Elizabeth. It's an interesting choice for the single. Maybe for the lore. Like that's the only reason I could think of for choosing this over Ritual. Also, fun fact, my very first exposure to Ghost was I follow this chick who plays like guitar covers on Instagram, and she'll play some shit, and I'm like, oh dude, I should learn that song too. So I'll like save a video and stuff. And one of the things she did was Elizabeth, and she has it was during Papa 3 era, so she has the Papa 3 mask on, mm-hmm. and she's playing it along with a live recording. And man, she picked the worst live recording to go with. Because I was like, oh, Ghost, I've heard that name before. Like, well, let's hear this, let's see what it's about. And the recording was terrible, and they came in at like the worst possible time. I wish I could remember what part of the song it was exactly. But I was like, fuck anybody who listens to this band. Like, y'all are dumb. Then I saw them open up for Maiden, and I was like, holy shit, I'm a dumbass. Like, this band fucking rocks. So, I don't know. Go see Ghost live. It'll change your life.
Yes, it will.
I'm really excited to see them.
We're gonna see Ghost live!
Possibly twice.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
what
we're selling tickets for Arizona. Let us know.
If you guys want tickets for Arizona, please let us know. We don't want to make the trip.
We're gonna have to go twice.
We're very poor. Ruben, what's the next song?
Stand by Him.
The devil's power is the greatest one.
Tis the night of the witch.
Tis the night of the witch. Alex, why are you hating?
Because, hold on, I need to look up the lyrics real quick.
All witchcraft comes in carnal lust?
So this one I wrote when I was... I think I wrote, good for her.
Good for her.
Good for her. It's literally good for her.
Good for her.
Vengeance will be his, like, as long as you stand by him. You're good for her.
Also, a vicar bitten blind in intercourse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First thing I wrote, I was just like, this man is horny.
Oh, man. He's so... The live shows, he'll just start humping things, too. But yes.
Do you want your taint tickled? He says that live, yeah.
Tickling taints. Mm. Alex, what else do you got?
He helped me find my taint. For anyone who went to a ghost show, you know what I'm talking about.
Good Christ.
Secondhand shame.
Anyway, no, I like, actually, this song, Stand By Him, good for her.
Good for her.
I was also, this man is horny. I like witchy vibes, so I enjoyed this song, actually. I just thought that I liked the story that it told.
So. Ruben?
So, first off, yay, Team Devil. Again, Tis the Night of the Witch. That's very catchy. During the chorus, you start to see the inkling of a little bit of, like, 80s disco sound. Which, not to spoil, but later on in some of the more recent albums, like, for songs like Dance Macabre, Kiss the Goat, that stuff starts, that's mm-hmm. very forward. But you're starting to hear a little bit of it, the disco 80s pop sound in this chorus. Also, again, the bridge, the organ comes in and carries the bridge the entire time. Again, it doesn't mess up the flow, but it's prevalent.
I'm really glad you said that they meant that, like, it happens later. One of my favorite things, so people, like, even the fans of Ghost love to hate on Ghost. They have this Metallica vibe where, like, the fans of the band hate on the band, but they're still going to go buy that new album. Mm-hmm. But you saw it in Prequel and then in Imperium, where they're like, old Ghost is better, this is too poppy, this is too 80s for me, it's too disco, all this bullshit. And I'm like, I don't think you guys were listening to the actual songs. Like,
yeah, it had 80s.
There were so many 80s vibes. And I'll bring it up in the next song, but like, the vibes are there. They just decided to, like, pinpoint what they wanted to do a little more. I guarantee you this new album, the new, not the cover, but the new album that comes out later, it's going to have a great flavor of old Ghost and new Ghost. And, like, people are going to hate, but fuck it, let them cook.
Let him cook.
But yeah, I love Stand By Him. It's fun, it's witchy. Listen to it during your full moon rituals. Next up, we got Satan Prayer. Believe in one God, do we? Satan Almighty. Oh my God, it's so overkill, over the top.
Yeah, so, right. So, I'm just gonna get it out right now. I did not like this song.
Oh my God. No, go ahead. I'm gonna let the hate come out first. Go.
No, it's overkill. The song is incredible overkill, which, like, and I, yeah, that was it. I don't have much else to say other than, like, it wasn't my particular jam. I know the point is to be overdramatic. I have this thing where I take things too seriously sometimes. And as I was listening to it, I was just like, this is ridiculous. I seriously hope he's not drinking his own Kool-Aid on this bullshit.
He actually confused himself into being a Satanist.
He's actually confused for a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, what am I doing?
So, yeah, Satan Prayer, that was the one where I was just like, well, where are we going? Where's this gonna go? Where's this gonna go? Which, again, when you were saying that Ghost fans love to hate, I do like Ghost. I just want to make that abundantly clear to everyone listening. I do really like this band.
No, they get better as they go.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, never judge a TV show by its pilot. Never judge a freaking album or a band by their first album.
I can judge this band off its first album. I fucking love this album.
But they get better.
Yeah, they do get a lot better.
Here's the thing. Well, that's the thing. Is like, this is, like, fine, but, like, I don't think I would, like, pay over, like, $50 to go see them live.
Good thing they weren't worth that much at this point.
At the time,
But you know what I mean? But, like, I wouldn't pay. Like, it just, like...
Remember, this album got nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, it did. And what's wild, man, I think...
I thought it was the performance, not the album.
It was the album.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, maybe 2 years after this album came out. Honestly, I had no idea who Ghost was. I went to see Death Angel, Anthrax, and Testament with a friend of mine. And I didn't notice it until I figured out who Ghost was. But the guy from Death Angel is wearing a t-shirt with this album work on it.
Oh, no shit.
And I was like, oh, shit, he's wearing a Ghost shirt. I didn't even know that. Like, that's so fucking cool. So, like... I think, and a lot of the older bands, it's the same thing, they're hit or miss. Like, the older bands either really like it, and they all have no problem with touring with them. People love touring with Ghost. But, like, they either really like it, or they're like, meh, it's not for me. I know Kerry King from Slayer, he is not a fan of them. He said it, he's like, I dig the vibe, I dig the looks, and he's like, I don't like the music.
Man,
yeah, just not for him.
But he's not going out of his way to bash.
Yeah, he doesn't hate either. Like, they've asked him about it once, and they were like, oh, what do you think of Ghost? He's like, nah, not for me. He's like, vibe's cool, look cool. I don't like the sound.
Fair enough.
Go ahead, man. Yeah. Anyway, Ruben.
I think that's respectable.
Yeah. Ruben, what do you got for Satan Prayer?
I actually don't have a lot on this either. Again, real hypnotic solo with the harmonizing guitars. I love it every time. Specifically, and they do it in this one, specifically when the guitar comes in and then it's then joined by the other, like pianos come in and join it. That's what I like, because you set the melody for you and then you get the change up by adding the second guitar to harmonize. I love that. It's chef's kiss every time. I love it. That's like my favorite thing in metal music.
So... I'm going to, again, throw it back to the Prince album, Purple Rain specifically. So remember when I said I really like about Purple Rain is the first time he sings Purple Rain, it's just his voice with light backing. Same thing in Satan Prayer. I don't know if it's a coincidence. I don't know. I don't think he's ever made a comment on how much he likes Prince music. I'm sure he does. He just, you know.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
I mean, that'll be the one thing he's wrong about. But the first time they do, hear our Satan prayer, it's just like, a guitar holding like a few notes, like of a chord, and like maybe a bass line. But at the very end, it's jumpy and dancey. The bass kicks up, and like, I really like that. Like, it gets the crowd going, because I've seen them do this live, and like, I think that a lot of people have that reaction where like the beginning's kind of meh, but like when the drums start kicking and the bass hits at the very end, people start moving.
And then hello synth.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, I feel like it was needing synth at some point, and they're like, you know what? And they
hit the keys. Tobias sitting there, I got this. And just like walks over to the synth. Like,
it's missing something. And just, let me handle this. Yeah.
Oh my god. All right, we're going to move on from there to Death Knell. Ruben, go ahead.
Say, can you see? This is the first line. I'm like, all right, hello. Again, like, I like that the drum was able to set the tone in this one, the beginning of the song. Again, it's all about the intros on this album. This time, the drum's coming in to set the tone. Again, very over satanic wording. We get it. Upside down crosses, 666. That all represents something in quote unquote Satanism. Which, if you do read the Bible and you know what the upside down, I'm gonna go on a rant. But you know what the upside down cross is? It's supposed to be St. Peter because he needed to feel like he should have been crucified at the same time as Jesus Christ. So he asked him to flip over his cross. Like,
the old flip.
Yes. So, like, anyone who doesn't know what an upside down cross is, it's not even satanic in nature. It's absolutely not even satanic. So. Sorry, I just had, because every time someone sees a upside down cross, they're like, oh, Satan. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. And the 666 is an angel number. Like, it's, yes, the mark of the beast, but it's an angel number. Just like 777, 999, like any of those triple repeating numbers, it's the same thing.
And so, you guys are welcome.
Yeah, sorry. It's too late to skip forward. I've already done it. But, like, just know I'm going to go on something. Bridge. It reminds me a lot of like old Metallica, maybe like middle age Metallica, an Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
It's like, again, they're harmonic guitars, but with the scales. Uh-huh. Like, that stuck out to me a lot. And then, thank you, Ghost, for helping us spell Satan.
God damn it.
Now we have bananas and Satan.
We know.
A-N-A-N-A-N.
It's Satan. S-A-T-A-N.
God damn it. Alex?
Again, horny.
Just a little.
It's just 2% horny.
I mean, he gets hornier later, for sure. But still, horny.
As the... Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway. I like also for genius lyrics. If you look up Death Knell lyrics.
I'm looking at them.
Talks in simple words about having sex with Satan. That is what it says the song is about at the top of the page.
Wait, does it?
Like, if you like, go to the top.
That's summer.
I'm at the top of the page.
Yeah. I'm looking at it.
Where?
What are you looking at?
What are you looking
at? Oh, wait. You said genius?
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Please hold. I'm sorry. I was on the wrong one. Genius? Hello?
Genius. We go two different directions with that.
Yeah, I saw it.
But anyway, I liked this song. It was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great.
I lost my notes, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not very not very eloquent for this one. I'm doing it live.
She did a thing. She's doing it live. I wrote like the death march beat and dread feel from the bass and the intro are like pretty dope. What?
So here's the thing about my commentary.
Uh-oh.
All of my commentary that I wrote down, by the way, it was all, like, about the content. Nothing about the music, because I don't know fuck all about music. I don't know why you keep inviting me on back onto this podcast.
Or making her do it.
Because I'm just like, I feel like such a fucking simple idiot. I'm just like, I like the bass.
I like doo-doo.
Right? I like the sound that it makes. Like, I'm just like, what? I don't know how to describe what the sound is, because I don't know what it is.
It's okay, we're here for all people.
Thank you for being Ben this episode.
Thank you for being a Ben.
But no, that like that death march beat and the like the feel from the bass, it's creepy. Mm-hmm. I put yay number of the beast because we all love it.
Yeah.
I put that the verses feel like the Freddy Krueger song.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like kids would sing that, like creepy. Ugh. And then I put again back to King Diamond, that feel with the evil, like that, like he hit that high note, like it felt like I was listening to King Diamond again, like That was really cool. But next song, Alex.
Yes. Prime Mover.
Ruben, go ahead while she...
Yeah.
I like the intro. Again, this album's real intro heavy, but I feel like it was a little long with that one strumming note. I did like it, but I felt like it droned on for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of... It killed the vibe for me, like, coming into it. The song's not bad, but out of all of them, it's probably the weakest, I think at least. Why?
So Alex had a very visible reaction, and I'm pretty sure it's for the lyrics, the same exact lyrics I have written down. So Alex, go ahead.
Not specific lyrics, it's more just like, I'm like, this is The Omen.
Yeah.
This song is The Omen in song form.
It's all for you.
Yeah. I remember because I had to look up the lyrics. But looking through, I remember reading the lyrics as I was listening to the song, and I was like, "This is pretty much The Omen." Yeah.
So the idea was that the album ends with the birth of the Antichrist.
I knew it.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Because
it actually goes kind of hand in hand with what I got for the next track.
So, are you done, by the way? I don't know if you're...
Yeah, in this there's like... Yeah, there's not a specific lyric necessarily that I was particularly attached to, but...
That's fantastic. I saw you scan and like
The Omen, the music.
But it was just me reading really quickly. Yeah. I was like, it's The Omen. It's the fucking Omen.
I wrote alarm sounding intro because it's just one very high note repeating.
Yes.
But I will say, with that going on in the background, when the power chords come behind it, it feels pop punky.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's why when you said I really like that intro, I was like, dude, it sounds like a pop punk song almost. That groovy bass line.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the bass line's so good. But then, of course, the lyrics I wrote are maternal slave with child of her grave, mother filth in her womb, father waiting in tomb. So those lyrics specifically, I think they like I don't think he wrote them with this idea. But maybe he went back and, like, listened to this and went over his lyrics and was like, holy shit, lore. And I think he uses that for, like, the lore of all the papas that have been singing now.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a whole thing where technically Papa 4 isn't of the bloodline.
Right.
But they kind of confirm that he's, like, a bastard child of Papa 0. So, like, maybe it's something like that where, like, maybe Papa 4 is the Antichrist and, like, we don't know it. So like maybe he is going back and like referencing his old songs and kind of picking and choosing lore that he wants to use for his own band.
Interesting.
Just speculation. I'm sure somebody has a whole fucking Reddit dedicated to this shenanigan.
YouTube videos, TikToks, they all.
Yeah, go everybody look it up. Ghost lore is very fun. But we're at the last song, Ruben. What you got?
Genesis. I have a large bag for this. Do you want me to go last, or do you want me to just kick it?
Phil Collins?
Yes. In the air tonight.
Ruben, go ahead. Hit us with it.
First of all, this song, instrumental, for the last song on your track, I'm here for it. Like, wasn't expecting it, but hell yes, let's do it. Now, first of all, the beginning gives me very old-school Doom vibes without being, like, too much over, like, Prime Mover. Like,
okay.
It doesn't drone on for too long. Then, once you get to the intro, the drum kind of builds up that energy to what I call the dramatic fight. To me, this is a scene in, like, a movie. Like, this builds up... hands up.
No, I have something about this, but go ahead.
So, the drums build up to the dramatic fight, and I think it's more of like a power struggle versus than like a flashy kung fu movie.
Right.
Because like there's a lot of tension in the song, but it's not like, you know, flat. It's like if I were to compare it to like Dragon Ball Z, this is like a Vegeta Goku fight, but they're not like super martial arts. It's like they're stuck in a grapple or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Super calm, but like they're barely just beating out each other. the guitar builds like a mental narrative. As you hear like the guitar tones come back and forth, you kind of see like, oh, one guy gets a little bit ahead of the other one, the other one comes back. Like, you see this power struggle, at least in my brain. And then piano comes in and harmonizes with the lead and builds to a height with, like, I basically feel the energy building to where the piano and everything comes in. And, like, as it gets to that precipice of the song, it's like, during this fight, there's, like, a flash. Like, something happens where you don't see the two competitors anymore. Soul They're just play. Gone. Yeah, something happens. And then the acoustic guitar, I can speak words. I'm getting too excited. Acoustic guitar comes in, and the show's, like, our hero still standing there by himself, like, smiling at the camera, whatever. Like, he won. But you look around as the guitar kind of takes this, like, foreboding twist at the end before it cuts out. It's like, oh, but you don't see the other guy. Maybe he died. Maybe he survived. You don't know what happens. Did he die? Did he get away? That's what this song builds in my head as I go.
Alex, go ahead.
I really like this song. I think it's a really cool way to end an album. It really kind of, like, guides the listener. Like it's kind of like, it takes you on this, like, super, like, screamy, Satan-y kind of journey. And then at the very end, it just kind of, like, takes you on this other journey. But, like, at the end of it, it kind of, like, gently lifts you and places you down on the ground. And it's just like, all right, continue with your life. I hope you have fun.
Thank you for
fighting Satan.
Thank you for coming to Satan land.
Right. Thank you for flying Air Satan.
Thank you for flying Air Satan.
Yeah. That's the vibe that I got from it anyway. But it did have very, like film-esque properties to it, where it did feel like I was, like, listening to something that I would see in a movie, where, like, it was very climactic, where it was like kind of wrapping everything up at the end and then getting to the end. So I enjoyed it. I think it is, as Ruben said, a bold choice to end your album on an instrumental, but I think it bookends the album very well, starting with an instrumental, ending with an instrumental, starting with these, like, organs that we were talking about at the beginning, that was just like, these are kind of lame, and then getting to the end where it's just like, oh, this is, like, super fucking sick. This is
really
good.
So the whole time Ruben was talking, I kept putting my hands up at different points because I agreed with him, and I'm, god damn it, this does not help the brother argument. But I wrote, it's sci-fi sounding at first, like, it's very synthy, and kind of, like, weird. Then it gets into an almost adventure video game / anime feel.
Again, like I said.
Yeah, so we get into that anime feel, and it Ruben said, it picks up. Then I wrote, in all caps, acoustic guitar? Because it comes out of nowhere.
No, I had that thought too. That was,
yeah, but it's calming and, like, very cool. And the end kind of build, it's like a high note build. It's like, starts from the bottom of the scale, works its way up. And you never get that satisfying final chord that, like, a lot of bands hit. That boom, or like that. It's always an open E for people who play guitar. It's just an E chord. It's an E power chord that most bands hit. But I think it's intentionally left that way for you to anticipate that next album. Like, I think they set it up for you to, like, want a little more with the idea. Like, again, maybe this was just a joke at first where they just put the album out as a lull and we'll see, like, oh shit, it was actually really good, but now it's set up for the next album. And I think that's really cool. They leave you shivering with anticipation. I love that so much. I think it's very cool. And they've done more instrumentals where they, like, have the big build. The one on prequel with the saxophone's really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the better instrumental on the album, obviously, but I think it's fucking dope.
It's fantastic. Like, every time I listen to this song, I envision some type of power struggle that's just, maybe, like, to go what you were saying about Prime Mover was supposed to be, like, the ending in which the devil was born. Maybe this is, like, the devil or the Antichrist and God's power struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be, man. I mean, we don't know, but holy crap, that's the last song on this album.
What?
Very short album. Let me get a rating out of 5 ritual human sacrifices. Alex?
Oh, okay.
We both looked at you.
Yeah, we did.
That sucks.
Peer pressure.
Okay.
You go first.
Why do I have to go first? You guys know I'm going to rate lower than both of you.
That's fine.
You don't know.
I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I liked it. I don't know if it's going to go in my, like, rotation. Ritual for sure is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ritual for sure is going into the rotation. But, like, the whole album itself, I feel very ambivalent about the rest of the album.
Okay. Ruben?
I'm going to give it a 3.5, only because, one, Ritual, of course. Con Clave Con Dio, love it. And Elizabeth, I actually think is one of the stronger songs, and then Genesis also the stronger songs. Surprisingly, the three that they started off the album with, like writing together, I think are kind of the weakest. Maybe that's just them with their artistic...
Getting their feet?
Yeah, their yeah. artistic development, and that's what came of it. And then in comparison, again, like trying to rate this by itself, but in comparison to other Ghost albums, it yeah. pales in comparison.
Like, of course.
It just gets better from here.
Yeah. So I'm going to also give it 3 out of 5. I really like tracks 2 through 6, but that's only because I've seen all those songs live, and so I understand the vibe. But again, like just like Ruben said, like this might be their weakest album, and it's a fucking great first album for any band, but like it only gets better from here. I don't think I would put the back end of the album on any playlists. I might put Genesis on there on like an instrumental playlist just to get something in the background, like a noise without words distracting me kind of thing. But like, I don't know, Death and All Fun, Prime Mover, cool. Nah, not really. But like, Deus Coppola, I'm not going to do a damn thing with those organ noises.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Hot
pipes.
Pipes. Speaking of hot pipes.
What?
She looked at me weird. Holy crap. We're at the end of our episode. Alex, would you like to say peace out and plug all the things that you have to plug?
Thank you for letting me be your village idiot this episode.
What?
Again, my name is Alex Webster. You can find me on pretty much every podcast here at the Horrible People's Network.
You're on every single
one. I'm on every single podcast.
At least one episode.
At least one episode.
Indeed.
You can find the Horrible People's Network on Instagram at Horrible People's Network, HORRORBLE People's Network. You can find me personally, if you'd like to see what I'm up to, on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. I am the main, my main podcast, I am the host of...
No, claim main host. Claim yeah. main host.
After
Let them know.
After Phil's shade last time.
No.
Let them know.
Look, Alex Webster is the main host. Put it down in right here.
No. I just introduce and end the podcast.
I'm not editing it out.
No. That was a Freudian slip.
Next we get Anthony on so he can complain also.
No. I am a host for the podcast that I mainly am on, and that is the Horrible People's Podcast, which is a weekly horror movie podcast, and it's super fun, and you should check it out. It is on Instagram at HORRORBLE People's Podcast, and I think that's it for my plugs. Ruben, save me from myself, please.
I am here to save you. My name is Ruben. You can find me on other podcasts named Turning Tables Podcast,
Woo!
Where the three of us are rotating DMs, DMing the same story. I was DM number one, and probably by the time this comes out, I'll be back at the helm again.
Maybe. Because mine's going to be a little longer.
Anyway.
It'll be a while.
It's been a while.
Start from episode one anyway.
Yes. If you like D&D, come give us a listen. If you don't, listen to all the other good stuff we have here. My Instagram is RECMatrix. I am the Blue Collar Sad Boy. If you like sad music, happy music, you like raccoons, birds, possums, you like picking heavy things up, putting them back down, give me a follow. If you don't, then go elsewhere.
Also, if you're local to Southern California, specifically Orange County, come play D&D with us.
Oh, yeah. We play D&D at Honeypot Meadery. Just go to the Turning Tables Podcast Instagram to see when we're doing it next, because this will be out way past our next one.
Yeah.
But thank you all so much for listening. Follow this podcast on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod. Follow myself on Instagram at Rathchild714. Follow me on Untapped, the beer Instagram at again, Wrathchild714. Follow the network, like Alex said, Horrible People's Network on Instagram. Listen to all the previously listed shows. They're fucking great. Until next time, don't forget, vengeance is yours as long as you stand by him. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Ian. I stall it!
Bye!
Peace!
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORROREPeople's Network on Instagram.